Okay, let's go ahead and stand for a prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come, Holy Ghost, fill the hearts of thy faithful. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray, O God, and us instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Ghost. Grant that by the same Spirit to be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. St. Joseph the Worker,
pray for us.
St. Louis Marie de Montfort,
pray for us.
St. Thomas Aquinas,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Our subject matter for tonight is the third secret of Fatima. And we'll touch at least briefly on the apparition of Our Lady at La Salette. And then also we will talk about a little bit about the rosary. But as I mentioned before class began, I have only half an hour tonight. So we'll have to be brief. Okay, so let's might again have your books available. We will make some references to our text, Tumultuous Times. And this was an extremely important topic for Catholics. I was shortly born just before 1960, so I have no recollection of how the secret was going to, how eagerly it was anticipated. It seems that many Catholics were looking for that secret to be revealed. They were expecting it. Devotion to Our Lady of Fatima was growing. So there was that expectation that we're going to find out what is in the third secret. Now, mind you, people were coming out of the 1950s, and there was, relatively speaking, a lot of stability, a lot of good things happening, tremendous growth in numbers, vocations were flourishing. Of course, the biggest worry people had was from communism, because that was also the height of the Cold War. And already probably from the late 40s, I believe, or at least the early 50s, we knew that the United States and Russia could destroy each other with nuclear weapons. So that was the huge worry during the Cold War. And then communism was spreading throughout the world. By the late 50s, early 60s, communism had literally taken over half the world. Half the world. So although things seemed to be going well in, you know, the Western countries, the worry was about communism. Of course, Russia and China were the two biggest concerns, but then Fidel Castro has a communist revolution right in Cuba, and they're still holding to the communist system. Right now, after all this time, Castro died. There was a lot of rejoicing among the Cuban people in the United States. All of the refugees, they're hoping, you know, for a normalcy. But still, communism is quite entrenched. And as a matter of fact, I would even say that communism is making a comeback now under the guise of socialism. And many of the countries of Europe are very socialistic. they're leaning in that direction of, you know, the government just taking over a large part of the economy, a large part of people's freedoms. So communism is coming back. As a matter of fact, I just saw a title for, in the New York Times, which as far as I'm concerned is a communist rag. But you know the title in one of the opinion pieces in the New York Times, it was in just the last couple of days, Karl Marx, you were right. And then, of course, it'll say things like, well, we don't really mean all the slaughter of the people, you know, the 100 million people were killed by communism, but you had the right idea. Communism is an absolute violation of people's human rights. But anyway, I've never expected the New York Times to ever get anything right when it comes to faith and morals. So it's just to be expected. Okay, so anyway, let's go into the third Fatima secret. As we know, the first part of the secret was the vision of hell. All three of these secrets were given on July 13th, 1917. So the first secret was that horrible vision of hell that the children saw. The second secret was the threat of World War II and of the spread of communism, importance of devotion to Mary's Immaculate Heart. Did World War II happen? Yes, it did. Did communism spread its errors throughout the world? Yes, it did. So we saw that sad realization of the prophecies that Our Lady had given at Fatima. And then the third Fatima secret, well, let's look at the timeline, okay? So again, I gleaned all of this from the tumultuous times. I just try to put it in a chronological order here. So as early as 1917, the children would say the secret was good for some, bad for others. So there's that note of hope there for those people that are attentive to Our Lady and trying to fulfill her wishes. There's that idea there that, you know, that yes, although you may be going through a tough time, she will be there for us. So good thing to keep in mind. Okay, on July 26, 1941, the Bishop of Liria, that's the diocese where Fatima is, he asked Sister Lucia to write down what was suitable to be revealed. And in August 31st of that same year, already World War II is raging, right? Has the United States entered it yet? No, we won't enter it till, of all days, what day will we enter World War II? December 8th, the day after the attack on Pearl Harbor. So, Feast of the Immaculate Conception, we're declaring war. I think it was the very next day. But anyway, we were supporting the Allied effort, even though we weren't formally in the war. So anyway, this is the circumstances. So Sister Lucia can only tell him about the first and second secrets. And then later on in that same year, she added the words, "In Portugal, the dogma of the faith will always be preserved." And that's the link, the connector right there between the second secret and the third secret, whatever it is. And by the way, I will pass out to you towards the end of my shorter presentation an article that we published. I wrote this back in the year 2000 when the Vatican supposedly revealed the third Fatima secret. And we have, I'm sorry, the copy isn't that great because it had a shadow, kind of a darker background, but you will read the text of the first and second secrets, and then we'll read the third secret that the Vatican revealed. And to this day, I will still say that they don't go together. There's something missing, or it's not a true representation of what really was said in the third secret of Fatima. Okay, so these are direct quotes here, going back to that sentence that Sister Lucia added, "In Portugal, the dogma of the faith will always be preserved." What can we take out of that statement? Are there any inferences we can make from that statement?
That there was going to be problems coming up.
Right.
Loss of faith.
Right. If Our Lady's making a point to say in Portugal, the dogma of the faith will be preserved, it's a pretty clear takeaway from that, that there's going to be countries where it will not be preserved. Now, this statement to me is still somewhat mysterious because, you know, Vatican II has devastated Portugal as well. But I would say out in the countryside, even though, you know, the true mass has been taken away from them and they've suffered the effects of Vatican II, nevertheless, there seems to be that real sincere effort to live the Catholic faith. And I was in Portugal only once, 1995. Our good sisters were there just 2 years ago, right? And could you tell us, could you sense that there the faith is being preserved more out in the countryside than in the cities? Any impressions that way?
I just know that we were kind of thinking that maybe we would not see a lot of evidence of faith, but there was so many people that came up and asked us where we were from and thanked us for what we were doing. So
I'm putting this for the sake of the recording. There seemed to be a lot of very positive response to seeing the sisters in full habit, and people are very appreciative of that.
And the fact that there were so many people, even in the middle of the night, coming and praying by Our Lady.
This is at Fatima. Many people praying at Fatima, and of course there were been people from other countries. It's an international place, but. Yes.
As the bus was driving away from Fatima, the guy pointed out and said, these people with orange vests or whatever, they're pilgrims. They've been walking all night, and we were leaving in the later morning.
So these people wearing these orange vests, are they Portuguese people?
They've been walking all night.
And they walk all night as part of their pilgrimage to Our Lady. So I think that, I certainly believe in that sentence or that prophecy of Our Lady. I think that I know that it'll be kept, the faith will be kept among, you know, out in the countryside, the poorer people. By the way, I was also told about somebody who had gone to the Azorish Islands, or we would say the Azores. The faith seems to be very strong there. I mean, unfortunately, they've been devastated again by the new mass, the new sacraments, the new teachings. But when there's a rosary procession, it's one of those things like the whole town turns out for it. And they have a tremendous devotion to the Holy Ghost in the Azorish Islands. I think that's the correct way to say it in Portuguese, the Azorish Island. So anyway, let's keep moving because we don't have a whole lot of time tonight. Okay, so now February 4th, 1946, Sister Lucia tells a Father Jongen, he must have been one of the theologians or experts that was given this special access to Sister Lucia, and she tells him the third secret was to be revealed no sooner than 1960. And then according to Tumultuous Times in 1955, Sister Lucia tells, of course we know he's a very good cardinal, Cardinal Ottaviani, the one who was fighting the modernists at Vatican II and also told Paul VI how Protestant his new mass was in 1969. So Sister Lucia tells him the wait has to be until 1960 because then it will seem clearer. So people were waiting. I believe it was 1957 that Sister Lucia looked like she was going through a lot of health problems. It looked like she was going to die, and the worry was that the third secret would die with her. So She was asked by the bishop to put the third secret on paper. It was given to the bishop, and he did not want to open it because then you have to take responsibility for it. And he felt, of course, it should go to the Vicar of Christ on Earth, Pope Pius XII. So we're getting close to 1960. Unfortunately, or I should say, well, it was God's will, obviously, that Pope Pius XII die in 1958. So now it was up to the modernist, John the 23rd, to reveal the third secret of Fatima. Now, from the studies we've made, what did he announce on January 25th, 1959? Pardon me? Okay, but I'm thinking of something that actually came a little later. What did he solemnly announce on January 25th, 1959 at St. Paul's Basilica in Rome?
The opening of the council?
Yes, he said, we are going to have an ecumenical council. And then it's in the summer of 1959 when he goes to the papal retreat at Castel Gandolfo that the third secret is brought along, still sealed, and it was at Castel Gandolfo, which is about 17 miles away from the Vatican, I believe. It's just a little summer retreat for the Pope. It's where he gets out of town, you know, to get away from the normal hubbub. But, you know, true popes have also had audiences there and met with people, and they do work sometimes, but it's more low-key. But anyway, that's where John the 23rd was going to read the third Fatima secret, he said, with his secretary, Monsignor Capovilla, or Capovilla. There's every indicator that he read the secret. And he never said anything about it later on. I wonder why. Let's speculate. Who would like to speculate? Go ahead and speculate.
I had mentioned something about the Holy Father no longer being a Holy Father. Tell me about him.
Okay, it might have said something about there not being a true Pope anymore. Maybe that was one thing. Okay, what else? What else? Again, you're allowed to speculate here.
Father.
Yes.
What Tripala just said, it doesn't concern my pontificate.
Right, but he didn't say that from what I understand, or it was not a direct, you know, address to the world where he said that, but it was a paraphrase, I believe. Yes, it doesn't concern my pontificate. That, some kind of a quotation along those lines was revealed. My speculation is that he read in the third secret of Fatima the complete condemnation of his pet project of Vatican II. What he had in mind. Remember, he said, we're going to open up the windows and let in fresh air. At his opening address, October 11th, 1962, is it 62 or 63? I think it was 62. He said, we must not listen to the prophets of doom and gloom. Well, where would he have seen that? Who was prophesying doom and gloom? Well, I think maybe Our Lady was. And he had the gall, the temerity to completely ignore what Our Lady was saying. Again, that's my speculation, and I hold to it. All right, as we know, Paul VI would not reveal it either, but then June 26, 2000, the Vatican reveals the third secret of Fatima. Okay, here's the excerpt from issue 102 from the Reign of Mary. Just ran off copies for everybody. You can just pass it out amongst yourselves. Okay, I would like you to go to page 2 of that Okay, so let's go to the actual text of what Sister Lucia revealed in 1941. And this is in the darker part again. My apologies. It's a little bit not that clear on this copy. But anyway, it was in July of August of 1941. In her third memoir, the Sister Lucy mentioned for the first time the division of the secret of Fatima into three distinct parts. And she wrote, "I will reveal two of them." And this we have from the Fatima expert, Frère Michel of the Holy Trinity. The horrifying vision of hell that the children saw is commonly regarded as the first secret of the Fatima message, although some Fatima sources extend it to include the first few sentences of what follows below. So was it just the vision, or was it also the first few words? It could be. Okay, but anyway, here are the what Our Lady said. "You see hell where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, God wishes to establish in the world the devotion to my Immaculate Heart. If they do what I will tell you, many souls will be saved and there will be peace. The war, World War I, is going to end, but if they do not stop offending God, another and worse one will begin in the reign of Pius XI. Now, the formal beginning of World War II, by the way, was Pope Pius XII was Pope. He was elected in March 2nd of 1939, but already you might say all the machinery was in was in place for the war to break down, for the war to break out. So in this sense, I believe it's still true to say that it was breaking out, even though the German soldiers actually invaded Poland on September 1st of 1939. "When you shall see a night illumined by an unknown light, know that it is the great sign that God gives you that he is going to punish the world for its crimes by means of war, of hunger, and of persecution of the Church and of the Holy Father. To prevent this, I come to ask for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart and the communion of reparation on the first Saturdays." So there you have it. That's why we ought to make that first communion every first Saturday of the month. Our Lady specifically asked for it. "If they shall listen to my request, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, she will scatter her errors throughout the world, provoking wars and persecutions of the Church. The good will be martyred. The Holy Father will have much to suffer. Various nations will be annihilated. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, and it will be converted, and a certain period of peace will be granted to the world." And now, here's that sentence that Sister Lucia added. "In Portugal, the dogma of the faith will always be kept." Now, this is where the third secret fits in. This is what the Vatican said, released on it was either June or July of 2000. Oh, okay. On May 13th of 2000, it was announced the secret will be revealed. And then later on, it was either June or July. Okay, now, this is what it says. Again, some real questions remain about this officially released third secret. Okay, "After the two parts which I have already explained, at the left of Our Lady and a little above, we saw an angel with a flaming sword in his left hand. Flashing, it gave out flames that looked as though they would set the world on fire, but they died out in contact with the splendor that Our Lady radiated towards him from her right hand. Pointing to the earth with his right hand, the angel cried out in a loud voice, 'Penance, penance, penance.' And we saw in an immense light that is God something similar to how people appear in a mirror when they pass in front of it. A bishop dressed in white, we had the impression that it was the Holy Father. Other bishops, priests, men and women, religious, going up a steep mountain at the top of which there was a big cross of rough-hewn trunks as of a cork tree with a bark. Before reaching there, the Holy Father passed through a big city, half in ruins and half trembling, with halting step, afflicted with pain and sorrow. He prayed for the souls of the corpses he met on his way. Having reached the top of the mountain, On his knees at the foot of the cross, he was killed by a group of soldiers who fired bullets and arrows at him. And in the same way, there died one after another the other bishops, priests, men and women, religious, and various lay people of different ranks and positions. Beneath the two arms of the cross, there were two angels, each with a crystal aspersorium in his hand, in which they gathered up the blood of the martyrs and with it sprinkled the souls that were making their way to God. There's a lot of problems with this. And when I wrote up this, this is just, you know, a brief commentary. And we certainly did not jump and say, oh, this is the third secret of Fatima. So some of the points that I made in this article, number one, first of all, I don't trust a hierarchy that gives false teachings and destroys the Mass and destroys the sacrament. Can we be agreed? And we're agreed on that. If we can't trust them to give us the true teachings of the faith, how are they going to give us the third secret of Fatima? So just from the get-go. Number two, it was supposed to be revealed in 1960 because the Blessed Mother wishes it so. She told people beforehand, 1960. They waited 40 years. Because it didn't fit in with their agenda of Vatican II. So again, that's why I speculate that the condemnation of Vatican II is in there. I think the Third Fatima Secret said, many nations will lose the faith, especially in Europe. Now, if you're about to have a new Pentecost, is that something you want to be telling people? No. And look what's happened in Europe. Remember last week we were looking at the statistics? What's the church attendance on Sundays amongst Vatican II Catholics in our country? What's the percentage?
25%.
Pardon me? 25% of the church. Okay, it was closer to, well, it's fallen below 40. It was about 38-39%. But in Europe, it's worse. It literally is worse. I mean, you're talking about in the teens, the percentage of how many people go to church regularly. So the faith was destroyed. Morals have been destroyed. You know, most Vatican II Catholics are favorable to these mortally sinful practices that are so prevalent in society. Okay, I'm running out of time here. Okay, number three, there are inconsistencies in the handwriting as compared to other monographs of Sister Lucia, not to mention grammatical problems as well with phrases like half in ruins and half trembling. How can something be half in ruins and half trembling? Does everybody see that? I mean, what is in ruins? A city is in ruins, or a building is in ruins. Does the building shake? Does it tremble? I mean, is this Our Lady giving us absurd expressions? There are also poorly constructed sentences and concepts. The souls of the corpses. Is it the corpses he met or the souls he met? Another one is sprinkling souls with the blood of the martyrs. Well, aren't they the martyrs? So is it their own blood? How would you sprinkle a soul with blood? I mean, there's just too many questions. And plus, all of a sudden, Our Lady isn't saying anything. Nothing. And of course, people say, well, maybe in the first secret, Our Lady was just showing hell. Okay. But it would seem that she would be saying something, you know, as a way to truly conclude in a logical and common sense way what was, you know. Remember, all three of these secrets, it's all one big secret. There has to be continuity between the first, second, and third. And the first and second, we can see perfectly the continuity. You see hell where poor sinners go. So whether that was part of the first secret or the second secret, perfect continuity. And you don't need anybody to give you an explanation of what Our Lady is saying. It's very clear. What was that unknown light? The Aurora Borealis above Europe It made it look like the whole sky was on fire. Nobody knew, but Sister Lucia knew what that meant. Okay, so this third secret, as you can see, does not fit. And all the conservative commentators, and yes, I'll include Father Nicholas Gruner at the time. I mean, unfortunately, Father Gruner still thought these Vatican II popes were true popes. But, you know, he said the whole this secret is a whitewash. So insofar as Fatima experts go, that was their statement. This is a whitewash. This is not what Our Lady said. Okay, we have to wrap this up in just about 2 minutes here. So the secret of La Salette, it's in tumultuous times, and I'll have to just very briefly say that obviously this is an approved apparition of Our Lady. The church has most definitely approved this apparition. It happened. It was just one time event, September 19th, 1846. There's a large basilica there. Father Oswald shared with me some of the photos that he took when he went up there. It's high in the French Alps, and during the winter time, it's just everything's just covered with snow. But the secret of La Salette, and we've come to find this out through our studies, it was never officially revealed, to people. It was definitely a secret meant for Pope Pius IX, and we know he read it. Both Melanie and Maximin wrote their secret, and it was transmitted to Pope Pius IX. Pope who suffered tremendously for the faith. I mean, he didn't die a martyr's death, but his life was a martyrdom as Pope because of what was being done to the church in the mid-19th century. But I do not, well, the CMRI priests have concluded there never was an officially approved version of a secret of La Salette. So that's, you know, there's versions out there, but the Pope did not authorize that secret to be revealed. It was meant for him. So by all means, have devotion to Our Lady of La Salette. Offer up prayer and penance. You know, keep the commandments. We don't want to make Our Lady cry over our sins. And that's what she was doing in that apparition, crying over the sins of mankind. And then the last part of what we were going to touch on was the Holy Rosary, but I talk about that a lot in sermons. I'll keep talking about it. One thing we do not agree with at all was John Paul II adding 5 decades to the rosary. What did he call? What do we call those?
The luminous
mysteries. You know, there's many problems with that. He was trying to improve on Our Lady. It broke up the idea of the 150. You know, and to me, this was one of the most subtle but damaging attacks against tradition, against our Blessed Mother. Because if you can change her rosary, what can't you change? Right? Of course, they already changed the Mass and the sacraments. They changed the teachings of our Lord. So I guess, this is like the last thing that for them to change. Let's change something Our Lady established or gave us. So I will have to leave it at that. Yes? So the Illuminati, that's a good connection to make, the Illuminati. Anyway, for the time that remains, this is just for your own handy reference, the A to Z list of concerns with Pope Francis. So if anybody wants to ask, what are the problems with him? Well, you got to list A to Z. So.
Interrupt this third Baptist. Joseph Smith,
it sounds like Joseph Smith.
Joseph Smith.